Blog Talk Radio.
New direct.
As much as I like the opening, I still miss my music, man. I miss my music, man. Because in my mind, I could just see Robert Frost. Go ahead, man.
I didn't mind your music, but a couple of people said it lasted too long.
Okay. All right, now I can work. I'll bring it down to 30 seconds because every time the show started and that music was playing in the back, I could just see you dancing around your house, man, and I missed that visual.
You got a sick imagination because I
Yes, I do. I know you. I know that, brother. Hey, listen, it's Tuesday night, 7:30, and again, it's time for the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. Again, Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast is out of the family of podcast venues, Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. Again, we try to keep all of them stimulating and entertaining as we always, the attempt is always to share knowledge that we've gained with you and be a constant reminder to the listeners that, again, if it's wrong, let's correct it. And if you know how to correct it, don't keep that information to yourself. Become a messenger and let's share this information. So, again, we help empower and educate all postal employees. Now, with that being said, good evening. I have to, before we start the show, I have to apologize to Elite Medical because they had an awesome open house event about a couple of weeks ago. And I took pictures, and I was supposed to put together a video for them. But, hey, brother Antonio and Dr. Manfresca, I promise you by next Wednesday, that video will be popping on Facebook. But, you know, because it's an excellent clinic, folks, in Columbus and in the nearby areas, again, where they have facilities. And let me just say this. They are federal injury compensation only. That's what they do. They are the subject matter experts in this area. So, you know, again, I'm going to prepare that video and see if we can get the doctor and Antonio back on next Wednesday's show. But nonetheless, Elite Medical for federal injury compensation, you want to check them out. You want to check them out. And again, I can't tell you where to go, but as Rob and I do investigation and we visit other places, we can give you references on places we've been and the facility and the care that they offer. And then you feel free to investigate, check them out. And if you like what it is they're doing, again, right here in Columbus, federal injury compensation doctor on site, again, doesn't get much better than that. So, hey, Robert, what's going on out in the world of postal employees? Again, and excuse me, I have to segue one more time because I always like to remind our podcast audience. I work for the post office. All of my Fed comp information and voice is directed at the post office. Robert works with all federal employees. Excuse me one second. I think I see a defensive back creeping up into the defensive huddle. Is that you, brother? Oh, see you.
Yeah, man.
See you.
Good evening, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, we good. We good. We was just going to a cover two, but now that you're here, we're going to go straight man up and have you shut down
that
high wide receiver.
No. No coverage.
Hey, brother, how you doing this evening?
Oh, man, no complaints, man. No complaints, sun is shining. So glad to see another day, brother.
Okay. Hey, you missed the opening, and in my opening, excuse me, I will get back to my subject matter audience, but in my opening, I sent you and Dr. Manfresca an apology because I should have had that video posted by now, but I did let the audience know that it was an awesome open house event that Elite provided, and I enjoyed myself, and I have no problems telling anybody in the Columbus area that if you are a federal employee and you are injured at work, Elite Medical standing by to take care of your needs.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. The event was solid, you know. Those who came out were supposed to be there. Never apologize for no shows. Would have loved to see some more faces, man. But the folks that were there, supposed to be there, and definitely some good information. And man, just providing a great service, man. So we're here to help, here to be a resource. And for all those injured, you know, maybe dealing with any type of illness, you know, give us a shout, man. I'd love to talk to you and see how we may be able to assist.
See, and one of the things that I do with Brother Smith also is when I hear people or people bring issues to me that may or may not be considered Fed Comp, one of the first or second things I do, well, when you come to me with it, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to refer you. I'm going to refer you to Robert, who's going to refer you to Mr. Smith, or I'm going to refer you directly to Mr. Smith. Again, I try to act as a unofficial broker, and meaning if there's something we can do to help you, I don't always have to be the subject matter expert. That's why I surround myself with like-minded people so that while I'm looking at issues in this genre, we have full-time people. And when I say we, just because we have an association dedicated to Fed Comp. So when you talk to me, I'm going to refer you to Robert or to Mr. Smith. And again, all roads in Columbus, when we talk injury comp, as far as I'm concerned, are going to end at Elite Medical. Now, you don't have to go there, but that's where I'm going to steer you. So
sure.
I just wanted to make that known that Rob and Antonio deal with Fed Comp. If you're federal and you're injured at work, those two gentlemen will assist you. I limit what I can do and will do to postal employees only. And I always like to put that out there because I get emails from federal employees and I tell them I'm well-versed in postal rules and regulations, even though FICA laws are universal. But if you need assistance from me, the best I can do is refer you.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'll get that video up, Brother Smith, because we got some good pictures, and I think people are going to be very impressed with your facility.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Appreciate that.
Hey, Brother Frost,
yes.
talk to me about what's going on right now at the post office.
Well, actually, I've got two things. First thing is kind of negative. The second thing I found was I found while I was helping another employee. The negative thing is I've been informed by a number of different people that the stewards and other people like supervisors and stuff are saying, do not go talk to Robert. We don't want you to talk to him. Well, first of all, they don't have the authority to say that. And secondly, I was assigned the job of injury comp. That wasn't actually given a title, but I'm basically the injury compensation person for the Mail Handlers Union. I was assigned that by the branch president. It has never been revoked. So I still have that authority. Even if they revoke my authority, I still have the authority because it's a voluntary basis. I don't get paid to do it. So anytime somebody tells you don't come to Robert, just smile at them and then come see me.
you know what, Robert, I want to interject. Usually when you have the agency intentionally steering an employee from any direction, because you have to remember more times than not, your best interest is not in their interest. So when the agency steers you away from anything, what they really don't understand is they are really forcing people to gravitate to that area more. Because everybody knows if you're going to do a job that is contradictory to the nonsense the agency wants to pull over, the wool they want to pull over your head, then they don't want you talking to them. But I'll tell anybody, again, the information that Robert and I disseminate to you is proven information. This isn't just some knee-jerk reaction. This is years of studying injury compensation. This is years of seeking injury compensation professionals, such as Brother Smith with Elite, such as Jeannie and Chris with Federal Injury Centers, so that we provide you with up-to-date, accurate, and current information. So anybody the agency stares away from, Rob or myself, again, you can still come and talk to us, and I guarantee at the end of our conversation, you'll understand why the agency don't want you to talk to Kenny and Rob.
Yeah. And the reason I brought the negative aspect up first was because they told this lady that I was helping not to come see me. So that's one of the reasons why she came to see me. And it turns out that it was a good thing she did, because I learned that the agency is taking her sick leave for a workers' comp injury. They're not allowed to do that.
No, they're
not. Your HRM, which is your HR medical person that works for the post office, is supposed to file a form called LDC, that's Lima Delta Charlie, 6700. And that tells your HR payroll not to remove any leave time, whether it be sick or annual. All right, because I have another individual I help who's had a lot of annual leave taken away that's not supposed to be taken away. All right, so what you need to do, and you know, you can come and see me, and I'll print this out for you. But for right now, what it is you have to call yourself. I can't do it for you. You call yourself, HRSSC, the HR Self-Service Center, at 877-477-3273, and just inform them. I have been off work for a work-related injury, OCP code 049. Give them the dates you were off. Then ask them, was a form LDC 6700 filed for me? If it was, then you should be good. They should not be taking your leave away. However, if your leave has been disappearing, so the next thing you need to say is, please adjust my sick leave balance or my annual leave balance because it was deducted from my balance erroneously. And this is per the ELM, section 514.24, injured on duty. Right, you need to specify the injured on duty section, because the 514.24 is a very large article. And if you say injured on duty, that helps pinpoint it, makes it easier for them to find. So now we're working on getting the lady her leave back, as well as the other individual. That's what I've got on that, Ken.
Awesome, Rob. If you don't mind, I interject real quick. Actually, I just got a question for you, and maybe this would be good for any listeners. Does it matter if your claim is open and accepted yet, whether you can claim that leave back if it has been taken?
That's a good question, and I honestly forgot to ask that. My understanding of it, though, would be, yes, you do have to have an accepted claim.
Yes, you have to have an accepted claim, because if your claim isn't accepted, then they have no obligation to sell that back to you. But if you're using your leave, and again, if you're injured on duty, that is an injury compensation, not to be confused with injured off duty. But if you're injured on duty and your doctor's appointments should be covered, or at least if they take your leave every pay period, you should be able to buy that back.
Actually, you could buy it back. But if it does, if your claim does get approved, you don't have to buy it back. They have to give it to you. Because there weren't.
Yes. Okay. And in fact, I want to correct that. And you're right. When I said buy back, if it's an on-the-job injury, and thank you very much for that, Robert. If it's an on-the-job injury and you have to use your leave, that's a give back. But if it's an on-the-job injury, and again, you're not, in fact, I'll leave it right there. So if you got injured at work and your claim is accepted, if they take your leave, then they have to give that back to you, not buy it back. Thank you, Robert.
Right. Yeah. But definitely wanted to clear that up, whether, you know, some people will be thinking that maybe if they claim, you know, CA2 injury or file claim, it hasn't been accepted yet, and they're wondering why, you know, they're missing time and the time is being taken away. Well, you have, you know, your claim has to be open and accepted first. So just wanted to make
yeah,
sure
definitely.
Everyone was clear on that.
And in fact, last week, the podcast we talked about, and that's a good segue, Brother Smith. Last week on the podcast, we talked about that CA2 and off-work injuries. Because remember now, a CA2 is considered an off-work injury until it's accepted. Now, once it's accepted, you get the benefit. You get the benefit of it being an on-the-job injury. But while that is being adjudicated, we podcast last week that you have a right to file for light-duty assignments until it's accepted. But that would be a case where if you use your leave on a light-duty job offer and your claim was accepted, then you would get that back as well.
Mm-hmm. And if I may, you know, on the job versus off the job. So, you know, the CA2 title is occupational injury, which it can be an injury that happened off the job or outside of your normal work hours, I guess. But the actual injury itself was aggravated or re-aggravated or caused during your time of work, if that makes sense. A great example I use is...
Makes a lot of sense.
Great example I use is, hey, you know, I injured my shoulder playing high school football, okay, 20 years ago or whatever the case may be. So, obviously, I wasn't a federal employee at the time, but now my normal duty, so that happened outside of work and my normal employment as a federal employee, but now my daily job functions and responsibilities has re-aggravated that shoulder injury over the course of a period of time, whether that be weeks, months, years, what have you. Now I have the ability to file a CA2. It's an occupational injury. It's an injury that has sustained or occurred or been re-aggravated over a period of time. The original injury could have happened outside of work, but the cause of my injury currently is during work because my daily functions and responsibilities has re-aggravated that injury. So, you know, if you get in an accident, you know, I don't know, let's say a boating accident, you know, on the weekend and you're not working, well, you can't file a claim for that. However, if you got in that same boating accident, injured your leg, it's healed up or something over time, and then, you know, your normal duties of bending, stooping, standing has re-aggravated that injury, well, now you have a potential opportunity or opportunity to file a claim. So, you know, just wanted to be clear on that, a CA2, you know, the occupational side of it. And a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, they work with injuries, you know, that they may have sustained even before they became a federal employee working for the Postal Service. And they don't think that that is compensable. And so, again, that's why we just say, hey, listen, if you're dealing with any injuries, you might as well go and see Mr. Hodge. You might as well go see Mr. Frost. You might as well call me so that we can have a conversation and see whether we'd be able to assist you or not. It's a good chance we probably will, or at the very least, give you some information and steer you in a direction that is beneficial and favorable to you. But, you know, if you don't ever have the conversation, you'll never know. So, and as we always mention, there's no cost for our services at all, no out-of-pocket cost to the federal employee, and certainly a conversation would not cost you anything. So it behooves you to at least take that first step and get the information that you need to make the best decision possible for you. So.
And you know, that's very interesting, again, because every time I have a conversation with employees about CA2, they always give me this look like I'm not trying to defraud anybody. Yo, let me explain something to you. I like being a postal employee. I mean, a lot. So if you ever think that I'm going to show you how to defraud somebody, you definitely don't understand who you're talking to. In fact, when it comes to CA2s, I'm very specific when I tell people, just write exactly what it is. Because, see, with that CA2, you have the burden of proof opposite of CA1. So if you state the facts, just the facts, Jack, as we like to say, then you leave that to the Department of Labor to decide, is your current work exacerbating a previous injury? And if they decide yes, boom, now you have an on-the-job injury for all intents and purposes. If they decide no, well, you got to think about this. You didn't lose anything. You know what I'm saying? So you're always in, we talked about this last week, a win-win or a triple win situation. But you got to have the conversation. And if you have the conversation, you might find that you're in a better position for compensation than you originally thought. And it doesn't hurt to check. And if it's not, then it's not. But if it is, why suffer when there is legal compensation available to you that you just didn't know about? Mm-hmm. And you know, getting back to a subject we talked about earlier with them taking your leave, and Rob was giving us some examples with reference in the Elm. Well, when I go into the Elm in Section 514, 515, listen to, 514. I just want to read you 514.24, but it's a big chart on the bottom. If you read the first, there's a first line in injury and line of duty. And this first line is very important to me because I think employees should start using this if they have to file grievances or labor charges against the agency. Supervisors must, and yes, I emphasize must because it doesn't say should or it would be nice to. Supervisors must advise employees of their right to file an application for FICA benefits as a result of injury or injury, illness or injury that is suffered in the line of duty. So again, if you know, sometimes you have to deal with postal management in different manners. And I'm trying to be politically correct right here. So I'm just going to say you have to deal with them in different manners. But if they continue not to advise you or give you good information on FICA benefits, then we ought to start bringing charges against them for not doing their job properly. And again, I'm reading right out of the Employee Labor Relations Manual. Again, that's not a union manual. That's management. So if management says they must advise employees, then let's start holding them accountable. Hey, good evening, caller. How you doing?
Fine.
Okay. Yeah, so then let's start holding them accountable, again, a little tighter than we've done in the past, because as I so often say, FICA benefits don't come out of their pay salary. FICA benefits don't come out of their NPRs, their bonuses they get at the end of the year. So for you to not advise employees of benefits they are entitled to when it doesn't affect your bottom line, then I don't. That's a whole new level of understanding that I haven't reached as of yet. So again, in the Elm, it tells you supervisors must advise employees of the right to file an application for FICA benefits. If you are not being advised of such, and you have to file injury compensation, again, what I'm going to start to do is maybe advise you that the post office has failed you, and you might want to take it up in a labor or some other venue to make sure that we start holding them accountable for doing what it is they're supposed to do. That's all I have to say about that. But if you, you know, as we study this stuff and we go through injury compensation, the more and more I read, the greater our understanding of injury compensation. It does. It gets me angry that supervisors and managers don't read as much, because you have a right, you have an obligation to take care of these folks, and they are just shucking that off, and nobody's holding them accountable.
Amen.
Oh, I got an amen. Well, hold on then. Let me go a little deeper.
Amen.
but being very serious, we have to bring ourselves more into the knowledge of what's taking place on these rules and regulations that govern what we do. Because I'll tell you today and any day, FECA benefits, as my man, Brother Norris, when he was a member on our podcast, would always tell you, you have the senators and congressmen are covered under FECA. This is no little thing that we have here. And again, this is designed for our compensation and rehabilitation. So we have a good process. We just have to learn at how to be good at navigating through the process.
Some great points, man. Absolutely. Man. Somebody has to, you know, hold the folks accountable, man. That's responsible. You know, understanding that even supervisors and managers sometimes get appointed, and from my understanding, and I'm not a postal worker. I've never been, but I've helped a lot, and so I understand that roles and responsibilities shift quite frequently. Sometimes, you know, folks are promoted to management at a high rate or at a quick turn, and may not be able to learn everything, right? But to your point, Mr. Hodges, just hey, over time, you know, do your due diligence, study, seek additional help, seek outside help, seek experts, seek professionals in the space to help you become as knowledgeable as you possibly can. We understand that, you know, not everyone has all the information. And again, another reason why we're here, not only to educate potential claimants or employees that are looking at filing a claim, but we also educate the leadership as well, whether they be union leadership or management or stewards. You know, we host trainings for them as well, and more than happy and willing to do so in any branch or group that is seeking additional knowledge and would like to get that but do not know where to get it from. So that's, again, another service that we offer, man, that it's just a win-win for everyone. Again, no charge, no cost for us to come in, hold an event, and share the wealth of knowledge that we've gotten over, you know, the last 10 years of service around the country. And we certainly would love to offer that to anyone listening that can put us in the right place with management.
And so you have to remember also, listeners, the unions don't, well, the AP, not the APW, the Postal Mail Handlers Union, this isn't like an approved program for them. They don't consider injury compensation as part of contract compliance. So again, you don't see unions having injury compensation designated people. Most times you don't, but I try to operate a little different. So what happens now is if we have the skill set to provide that guidance, then it's not a union guidance. It's union members helping each other, if that makes sense, because I don't want people to think. And I guess the unions get a little shy because if they provide injury comp guidance and it goes bad, they're very concerned with liability. Well, again, I provide guidance all day, and I'm always the first to tell you, you don't have to take my word. In fact, the guidance I provide requires you to do some causative research yourself and then see if you're comfortable with it. And if it is a good fit, then you go with it. But I can pretty much assure you that which we provide guidance for, we constantly research because I'm very concerned about what it is I put out to members. Hey, but listen, that's our podcast for this evening. And I'm glad that you came out for this half-hour show. Please download it on Blog Talk Radio. And again, these podcasts are just designed to keep you informed and keep you up to date on what's happening in your work life at Columbus, Ohio, and other federal facilities. So for Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to say good night. And I appreciate you coming out to the podcast this evening.
Mm-hmm. Good night. All right. Thank you, man. Take care.
Good night.
Yep. Have a good evening.